Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori. We've always thought that the most compelling story strikes the perfect balance between an honest look at the mess of life and the humor that can be found in the mess. To be perfectly honest, we don't really know how to live life without both the humor and the authenticity.
Our podcast might be a little bit of whiplash at times. We can spin from hard and deep to humor and laughing on a dime. The hard will be really hard, and the truths we share are the ugliest of humanity. We don't intend to make it seem like it's all fine or to pretty up the pain, but we also know that the joy we found is all the more profound because of the pain.
So we hope you can stick with us through the ugly, because there will also be joy and hope and humor. Welcome to The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door.
Hi, welcome back to our podcast, The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door. I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori.
Today, first, we just want to give an update as to kind of what we've been doing. And, you know, we haven't released an episode in a little bit, so we wanted to just fill people in on where we've been and what we've been doing. So our last episode talked about investigations. Our last two episodes actually talked about investigations. And we mentioned that an independent investigation was going to be starting, that a local church had hired an outside company to come in and do an independent investigation. So we have been prepping for that for the last several weeks.
Prepping is a small word.
Yeah. We've been full-time investigating ourselves. we definitely want to talk about in a future episode kind of how the investigation is actually going and what our experience has been thus far.
Which was by and large positive.
Yeah, very positive.
Right.
But leading up to the investigation, there was a lot that went into that. A lot of feelings. A lot of raging, honestly. Like a lot of days of just like absolutely, and for a lot of reasons, which again, we'll maybe do an episode on that in the future. But we spent a great deal of time kind of gathering a bunch of pieces together. Really kind of doing the investigation ourselves. Am I allowed to say that?
Well, again, the idea of you have access to information that the organization coming in wouldn't have had easy access to. They didn't come in knowing your experiences.
Right.
And they don't have like releases to gather that information.
Yeah. So I feel like we just really expedited things for them.
Yeah. But maybe this is a future episode, but is that the reason you were doing that was yes, to help the investigation move forward, but also because you felt so much like, if I don't give them every bit of reason to believe me, the inclination is for them to not believe me.
Yeah. And again, future episode, but you know, it felt like this whole, like, we can't half bake it. We can't, like, I've done that too many times in my life where I don't give the whole of it and it doesn't work out because it doesn't hang together. And so the feeling of like, okay, every last shred of everything needs to be given to them because this can't be another failed escape attempt.
So there's a panic element.
Yes. Yeah. And because when we started gathering these things, there was a certain level of, to be honest, there was almost a certain level of obsession of finding all the things, because I read one after the other that just was like solidifying peripheral things for me. Seeing things in black and white, like in writing that somebody else wrote, was this feeling of like, these holy crap moments for weeks of just like, oh my gosh, and oh my gosh, and oh my. And so it became this like, you know, almost obsession of like, I need all of it. I need to see all of it. And we're still in the process of doing that. And again, in a future episode, we will talk about the process that we've gone through in doing that, which has been like, oh my God, like watching paint dry and
way more complicated than
you would think. But so we've spent weeks and weeks and weeks gathering medical records, police reports, school records.
Okay. But before you talk, like, can you talk about what were the holy crap moments? Like, why was it a holy crap? This was your experience. You knew it.
Because it was like, again, reading it in black and white. So it was like, okay, for instance, there was a police report that was made when I was in high school, and reading through the police report and seeing, you know, number one, my parents were front facing. So everything was father states, father states, father states. Number two, things like they wouldn't let the police interview me that day. They said, come back this weekend. All of those things that like I know and you know, and we've talked about where they were front facing, they were blocking any help from being able to come. But seeing it written out like that by somebody else was just a holy crap moment. Like, oh my God, there it is, you know? It's also things like there was another investigation that was mentioned in this police report. And the narrative that I've always been given by my parents was they didn't believe you because nobody will believe you. And then to see that this other investigation that had happened, the FBI agent, it says right in there, FBI agent found her credible. And it was like, I think I literally hit the floor because it was just like, oh my God. Like, so not only was it things that I already knew in black and white, but also things that contradict the things that are in my head because of the things that they've told me. So it just was like my world's exploding. Things like even their public stories don't make sense anymore. Like even your public story doesn't hold up, let alone like I know the public story and I also know what really happened. But now I'm looking at a piece of paper that says your public story doesn't even add up. So yeah, it really was. It's been a really long month.
So I feel like what you've said is that it was simultaneously so affirming. See, I'm not crazy. And it is what I always knew that it was, but also this, like, again, how with all of this out there, am I still stuck?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It was validating and also devastating. It's the same as when you spoke to the women from the private school that I went to. The public story, the story that the narrative that I was fed was they don't believe you. They will never believe you because nobody will ever believe you. And then for them to tell you, oh yeah, no, we 100% believe her. We just couldn't do anything about it, was both validating, like, oh my God, they believed me, and devastating because, oh my God, they believed me and they didn't do anything. Which then perpetuated decades of further things. So yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a really long few weeks, just leading into that. You know, not only were we gathering my own records, but compiling all the things that have come to us through the podcast. So people who are listening to the podcast and offered, you know, those peripheral puzzle pieces that we've talked about before. When it first came to us, it did come like a tsunami, but it was still like a steady stream of things. So to have it all put together in one folder in one place was a lot.
Right. And to look at it all together like that, all in one place, and read through it all in one sitting too, was like, oh wow, there's a lot here.
Yeah, it was. And I felt like in that initial meeting with the investigators, we just kept handing them pieces of paper. It was like, here's this folder and here's another folder. And like, I, you know,
right.
Yeah. It was just like a lot. It is a lot.
And so again, the complexity of sitting through an investigation of, it's very affirming and it is reassuring to have voices in addition to your own, but it's also like, this is your experience. This is your history.
Yeah.
And it, every piece of paper represents a piece of your life. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of emotion to walk through.
Yeah. It was also a lot of adrenaline. Mm. Like for weeks, I was living on just sheer adrenaline and honestly rage, like just absolutely like, just all the emotions. And after handing over all of that stuff, like I literally had this unbelievable adrenaline dump that just like left work early, which if you know me, you know, I don't think I've ever left work early other than like if my kid is sick, you know what I mean? Like, that's not me. So yeah,
I guess I also want to say it was a lot for us together too.
Yes.
Because I was trying to kind of balance out some of the panic and the rage and the adrenaline, but sometimes that felt like I wasn't in it with you, or we weren't in agreement about some stuff. And so we had a rough couple of weeks too.
Guys, Lori has only one flaw in the entire world. Only one.
Ask anyone.
But the one flaw is, if you are scream raging, she is quiet, which is infuriating.
Yeah. Truth. So. I go completely still in the face of rage.
Play dead.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's true. I know.
And it's probably a good quality, honestly, as a therapist. So.
Maybe, but it didn't feel good to you because it felt like I couldn't be in some of those big feelings with you. And obviously as a therapist, that's not great.
Yeah.
We're okay with
it.
Like at the end result was us kind of going, okay, not perfect. We don't have to be perfect. We're together. Silas, clearly not perfect because he's barking at his basket of toys. He has this huge basket of toys.
My kids disagree with you. They voted Silas this morning. My kids were voting this morning on whether they love our own dog, Penny, or Lori's dog, Silas, more. Silas won.
That's only because they don't live with Silas.
That's probably true.
Yes.
Silas is more entertaining. Penny's kind of lazy.
Okay. Well, Silas. Yeah. Anyway.
We digress.
Yes. As always, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is why we're so entertaining, though. Because we go from talking about how you play dead during rage to like Silas wins the vote. So.
It's only reasonable. You have to kind of totally be in both reasonable. Of those places. Okay. So a little brain science about the go still, right? So we have talked about flight, fight, freeze. So I'm going to add to that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's actually flight, fight, fawn is a third category in that same, like, how do I respond to a threat? So flight is obvious. I run away. Fight, obviously I fight. Fawn is like, let me be charming and try to just sort of settle the thing down to try to disarm the conflict. So those are the three things that people tend to do when they see that there's a way out of a crisis. Freeze is actually a next step beyond, oh no, I'm in danger, to a place of like, okay, I can't get out of this. So I just have to go still, like the rabbit in the yard. Can't run away fast enough. So I'm going to go still and what? Hope you don't see me, predator? No, that's not how that actually works, but that is the reality. So me going still actually represents some level of freeze.
Yeah.
People do this.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I was in some level of fight. So.
Yes, you were. That's right. Which is actually a good thing because that's an empowered position as opposed to freeze is like a disempowered position.
Yeah. It didn't feel very empowering at the time, but.
I know. So it's been messy.
It's been very messy. So.
But productive.
Productive-ish.
yeah.
But. Here we are. We're back.
We are.
And we are still honestly wading through that. Like we're still waiting on several records and I've like backed off my obsession a bit, but yeah, well, it's honestly just so frustrating. Again, this is why we need to do an episode about this because honestly, like if anybody out there like needs guidance on this, like call us because like for real, this has been the most frustrating process ever, but like we've learned so much from it. So.
Happy to share.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, the threats continue to come. A week after the investigators were here? So Christiana is someone that we interviewed. She had an abuse experience herself. She grew up in the same church that I did. And about a week after the investigators were here.
And she met with them.
She did meet with them. Yeah. Out of the blue, her boyfriend, gets an alert on his phone saying that an AirTag has been detected with them. And it was, you know, they had been in Christiana's car and a map pops up on his phone that basically shows the last like 6 hours of their life and like where they had been. They had been back and forth to a few places in her vehicle and it showed this map of where they had been. And you know, says like AirTag detected. And it's like 11 o'clock at night. And P.S. her boyfriend is a corrections officer. So he literally is like trained to kill you with his bare hands. And like the most like jacked human being I've ever seen in my life. So they go outside to look at her car and see if they can find this thing. Cause they're like, what the crap? And, AirTags are an Apple device that is it's a GPS tracking device and they make a sound like if you can't find one or you know are looking for something like let's say you put it on your keys it makes an alarm sound if you press the button for that so that you can find your keys. So there was an option to do that but then when they tried to do that it said AirTag cannot sound alarm when owner is nearby. So they were living in an apartment building. They walked around the outside of the building, and there's this super creepy, you know, white kidnap van sitting right outside their building. Ryan runs at it full speed, and the van literally like speeds away. Next morning, they go out and the AirTag is gone. So again, I don't believe in that level of coincidence that Christiana's never had these things happen before. And suddenly, you know, the investigators are here. There's a lot of talk going around about what's happening and, you know, what's what. And then all of a sudden someone's tracking Christiana's movements. She did try to report it. She did report it to the police. She also did report it to Apple. So we're hoping some level of something.
Activity.
Yeah, coming some out of that.
There.
Mm-hmm. So another thing that happened recently is, again, another person who we connected with through the podcast received a threat that was written on a dollar bill, which is important because I have also received threats on dollar bills or including dollar bills. So again, it's that feeling of like, you can't really believe in that level of coincidence that, you know, it just so happens that this person receives this very familiar threat and very unique. Like, it's not like, oh, that happens, yeah, you know,
that doesn't happen. I mean, that's something I've ever heard of until now.
Yeah.
Most people probably listening to us have never heard of that.
Right. Right.
But it's a thing.
It's a thing. So the threats continue. They, you know, seem to have escalated with just more people, but it also, you know, Christiana made a point the other day that was like, yeah, but they can't really seriously think that they can mess with all of us. Like, it was one thing when it was just me and I was isolated, but now the panic is setting in that like, we're doing things, we're, you know, we see you, we're not here for any of it. And
there are investigators coming in.
Exactly.
There are people there. It's me, it's Christiana, it's all of you who are listening and paying attention and sharing. And it's
right.
Yeah. So you would think that they wouldn't think that they couldn't just keep doing this stuff. However,
right. But instead they've just like expanded it. But like, again, it was one thing to do that to me. You know, I have that freeze response with them, right? I tend to freeze but like Christiana doesn't, right? Ryan for sure doesn't. Like, he went running at this van, like, I'm going to kill you. So like,
right.
You know, hopefully they're seeing that like, yeah, no, that's not going to work. That doesn't work that way.
So I think they maybe also, they being the dark world people, don't really have perspective on how many people are listening. Like, I feel like we are seeing the statistics.
Yeah.
They're not seeing it.
Right.
But they don't know that.
No,
they have no idea. So they're maybe shocked that
people are not listening because it's undermining the church. So,
oh my gosh, barf.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. So by the way, anybody who's telling you not to listen because it undermines the church just might be somehow peripherally involved. Just
1,000%. Yes.
Not guaranteed, but just might be.
Yes. 1,000%. So yeah, we see them. We see what they're doing. We, you know, again, we don't believe in that level of coincidence. And so we're just going to keep talking about it when it happens. We're just going to keep putting it out there. My house is like Fort Knox now.
Right. Thank you to all of you who have donated.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Like, yeah, there's not even where I literally keep saying to people, like, I don't have words. I wish I have words for a lot of things, but this isn't one of them.
This is not something that you ever imagined. Never mind. Did you not ever imagine even one person would believe you?
No.
But to imagine that a lot of people would believe you, and not only believe you passively, but believe you and show up in some meaningful way, whether that's donating or like the family that just did the farm dinner. Like,
It blows my mind to think about people like just like good, genuine people, like giving their time and their resources and things. Like, it just blows my mind. Like, I have no words because, it just actually blows my mind.
Because they said it could never happen.
Yeah. And because that's been my experience, like, people don't show up that way. And so, I don't know. and I'm going to get like very emotional, but like even just like you sharing your people with me, like, you know, I don't know, just thank you.
We're very grateful for all who are showing up, you know, some in the background, some more in the foreground, but all of it matters so, so much. And the donations have made it so that Kate's house can be like Fort Knox.
Yeah.
And that we have money set aside that if we need a lawyer, a private investigator, more security things,
yeah,
we have it. And it just makes all
the
difference.
It's so helpful to be able to, like, as we rework our safety plan, like every week, to just be like, okay, let's get this thing that's going to help. You know, like, I just, this is like a silly little thing, but I just ordered these personal safety alarms because, you know, walking in and out of work and just being places, and like, not that that's a super expensive thing, but just to be able to be like, yeah, not a problem, just let's just do it, you know, is just, and like you said, to know that we, I feel like the day is going to come where we need legal representation and it's going to hit us like a brick wall, but to know that we have that safety net is just, I mean, it's everything.
Well, and to have been able to purchase cameras, good cameras, so that we now are able to capture images and videos of people showing up at your house.
Yeah.
Like, yep, in the past week.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, just thank you so much for, that, for so much support and so much. We have had some interesting donations to the GoFundMe. We've had actually some sizable donations come from offenders.
And or the people tied to them.
Right. And or family members. And that feels a certain kind of way. So we are happy to say that we have either sent them back, if possible, or donated them to other really awesome organizations that are also helping victims of trafficking, sexual abuse, and also church abuse. We just can't really accept money from people who have a lot to lose here. So that's been it was kind of an alarm. I mean, actually, Christiana, when she set up the website and the GoFundMe, she asked me how I would feel about that if that were to happen, because we both could kind of envision that happening as almost like a hush money type of donation. And it has been some of our sizable ones that have been from those people. So that's been kind of gross, but
yes,
it's okay. We just donate it away to, or send it back, like, F you, basically. So,
right.
So yeah, I guess, just thank you. And, yeah.
It was just, I think, important for people who are listening to realize that we're not going to be quiet about this stuff. We're not going to not comment on the fact that abusers and the people around them are donating. We're not going to comment. We're not going to not comment about the things that they're continuing to do that are not safe.
Right.
They're not invisible anymore. And I think maybe they're under some, I don't know, the people in the dark world are under some illusion that you don't actually have power and voice at this point, but you actually do.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, sometimes I'm surprised by that too. And so it makes sense to me that they would be very surprised by that, because in their minds, they've conditioned me for 35 years that I don't. And again, it comes back to that whole, like, reading it in black and white is like, even the public story doesn't hold up anymore, you know? Which brings us to our next point of, we effing see you. We see what you're doing. We see you.
And there are a lot of people now with their eyes on you, right?
Yeah.
So for example, we heard recently that Kate's mother tried to volunteer with children recently.
Which I just want to point out. Okay, let's go into this. Okay. She hasn't even volunteered with kids in a long time, honestly. Like, she had the preschool for like 16 years, and then she tried to volunteer at the chapel decades ago. Like, I don't know, I was still living at home, so like a long time ago. And they said they were gonna do a background check And she was literally got insulted and was like, never mind. Like, I don't even want to volunteer anymore, which is also interesting because, like, mm-hmm. who declines a background check from right. a church? But, like, okay. It's just mind bending that she's trying to volunteer with kids. It's so brazen. It's so bold. It's so disgusting, honestly.
And that she thought that nobody would know her story. Like,
yeah,
like she thought right. she could walk in there and that nobody, but
the reality is if we didn't have the podcast,
right.
people would not know.
Correct.
And like, that is the problem with so many of these people is that like, without dragging it out of the shadows, people, I mean, they would look at her and be like, oh my God, she was a preschool teacher for 16 years and a mother and a grandmother. We'd uh-huh. love to have her. She's amazing. Right. Mm-hmm. So without the podcast and without doing what we're doing, I mean.
So again, anybody asking why are they still talking about it and why did they have to be public about it? Well, that's a big part of right there.
Absolutely.
Why.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's also just so mind bending to me. Like I said to Patrick, if someone was accusing me of the things that we are, that the allegations that we're stating, and I didn't do it, I would be out of here. Like I would, and like publicly, if someone's doing this, right? And I didn't do it, I'm out. Like, especially in their situation of like no ties, no real, like, I mean, they could pick up and move to Florida tomorrow if they wanted to. But the brazen, like just absolutely like,
We're above this.
Right. Yeah. And just like, oh, I'm going to go volunteer with like, what? Like, it's just, but it's also so fitting with like the narcissistic personality of just like, yeah, you would think that you are untouchable, but you're not. We see you.
And by the way, leading into the next piece of this, when the church responds with some kind of a lukewarm response, rather than we hear these allegations, our default position is always to stand with the victim, and therefore we're taking a stand in that place. When it doesn't go that way, it only makes offenders more brazen.
Yes.
Which is exactly what happened. Thank you, Chapel.
Yes.
And unfortunately, continues to happen. Mm-hmm. So here's a follow-up. What has come to us recently is that Kate's parents are attending a church locally, Forest View Church of God, in the town of Niagara. Technically, it's Niagara Falls, which happens to be 8 minutes from Kate's house.
Yep.
8 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's not even in the same county that they live in. And of all the churches in all the land that they could attend, why would they choose to attend a church there?
Right. But I think the crazier part, so like 8 minutes from my house, literally on the other side of the reservoir, like yes, of all the churches in Western New York, but this church also has a history. The leaders and the pastor have their own history. And my question is, how do these people find each other? You know what I mean? Like, how do you, again, of all the churches in Western New York, how is it that they find each other? It makes no sense.
Right. So we're not saying that people in this church are knowingly involved in Kate's abuse. Like, I don't think that we know anything about that, mm-hmm. but I have some history with Forest View. Along similar lines. So first, let me just say that I did reach out twice to the pastor of Forest View. I left two messages, including a second message, basically saying that we were going to talk about it because we want to make sure that people know, like there might be people sitting in the pews who have children in that building who don't know who's sitting there. And we want to make sure that the pastor is aware of who these people are so he can keep his people safe.
And because P.S., my mother tried to volunteer with a separate, you know, kids program, but the church itself also has multiple kids programs. So they have a Sunday school program, they have a children's church program, they have an Awana program on Wednesday nights. I mean, multiple opportunities. So if this church is not responding correctly, not only is that just bad for my safety and bad just in general, but we want to make the parishioners of Forest View aware, like, hey, do you know that you have these people potentially volunteering with her kids? We don't know that she is volunteering with her kids, but if she's trying to volunteer with kids,
right?
Why not? Right?
Right. I mean, again, and why would we choose to stay silent when we already know that because of the podcast, we have been able to make sure that some children are safe from having to be around that.
Right.
So, okay. So we did try to reach out. We have not gotten a response. My second message was like, we want to be able to share what you're doing to help keep your people safe. We don't want to just say, oh, these people are in this church building and not be able to say, because we know we've gotten some pushback on that before for not saying what a church is doing to help bring safety. So we did try, we've not gotten a response back. So here we are saying, you know, Forest View has Kate's parents sitting in the pews and we want people to know about that. But let me just say my personal history with Forest View is this. So in 2011, my family, my husband and me and our kids were in church. I know, we're so
You're
old.
So
Stop
old.
It.
I was I only know. Married for a year.
Stop it. I know. Stop. Just stop. Okay. Anyway, we were in a church. My kids were sort of like middle school-ish age. And through that experience, unfortunately, the pastor was accused by his daughters of sexual abuse. And it was, you can imagine, a big old hot mess. Unfortunately, there were four elders in the church. Two believed the disclosure, two did not believe the disclosure. So they were split down the middle. So it was frankly months of sort of hanging out in the middle ground of like, who believes the disclosure, who doesn't believe the disclosure. And let me just say, again, as a professional, the girls did not disclose to me. They disclosed, though, to several. So these girls had to sit before the entire elder board and their wives, and that's who they made their disclosure to. They made an initial disclosure to someone. That someone encouraged them to go to, and then they ended up disclosing to the entire elder board and the wives.
That's horrifying.
It is horrifying. And the fact that they were brave enough to do that,
yeah,
and then not be believed.
Yeah.
So
that's awful.
Right. But that was not Forest View, but here's Forest View's role in that. So part of that church that's where our homeschool group was through, because I homeschooled my kids. Forest View was the place where we were supposed to have this big meeting to kind of plan the fall events. And so we showed up for this meeting at Forest View, and it turned out that it was this, essentially we were blindsided by the fact that they had brought in the state leaders of the homeschool group, and it turned into this huge, ugly, contentious thing where basically Forest View came out in support of the pastor and his wife, who was also saying that the abuse allegations were untrue, came out in support of them. We were literally kicked out of the homeschool group because we were saying we believe the girls and we believe these allegations at least have validity. And we were basically just trying to wait for the elders of the church to make a conclusion, but we were kicked out because we refused to say that we thought the allegations were untrue. And all of that happened at Forest View.
Which is absolutely wild. Like absolutely like, oh, but also like not surprising, not even because of Forest View, just because of like generally the like evangelical church at large, like not surprising, but also just infuriating. And like, oh my goodness, it sends me into a blind rage, to be honest.
Well, and for them to be, unfortunately, I don't know, maybe landing again in a spot where they are not standing with a victim. I 10 years apart, like
right.
Apparently there's been no learning curve in
right.
the in-between time.
Right. Yeah. I feel like when you heard who it was, like where they were actually attending, it was like, holy crap. Like what? Like it's that feeling of just, but again, I go back to like 10 years apart and like you have this whole experience with them completely separate of anything else of, you know, my story or my specific stuff or the chapel or anything, how do they find each other? Right. Like, how is it that, is there like a memo that goes out? Like, hey, our church is sympathetic towards abusers. Like, you know, like we had bees removed from our house one time and we had this list of like beekeepers. Is there a list like that? Like, is there like a list of like sympathetic churches to abusers? Like, I can think of a bunch of churches that would be on that list.
Right.
So,
right. Absolutely.
The chapel at the top.
Okay, so I have to talk about the Darvo part of the whole church pastor accused by his daughters of abuse thing, because it was so shockingly classic Darvo. I mean, I didn't have a Darvo concept back then, but so Darvo stands
for... Let me just say, I think a lot of people don't, which is why our episode about Darvo was so important, because it's one of those things that you see happening, but until you can put a name to what's happening, it's very confusing and can be like that gaslighting feeling.
Right.
So continue.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, this was a really so incredibly bizarre way when I explained to you what. So remember, Darvo stands for deny, accuse, reverse, victim, and offender, right? Mm-hmm. So deny the allegations, accuse the other, the person who's accusing you, and reverse. So now suddenly the person who is the offender is acting like they're the victim. So here's how that went down. And again, Forest View is not who did this directly, but after all of this unfolded, as they were watching this unfold and knew that this was unfolding, they still chose to stand in support of the alleged offender. Just saying. Okay. So the Darvo was this. So the girls in this situation originally disclosed to a woman who had been close friends with the family. I'm not going to get into it, but it's understandable why they chose her. She was a person who was certainly in their world, but also a younger, more accessible person than most of the moms around them. And so that's who the girls chose to disclose to. So when the girls disclosed to her, ultimately, that's how the concerns got brought to the elders of the church and their wives. So the girls disclosed to this person, and then they brought it to the elders. Well, once it came to the elders, and the elders were split, two did not believe and two did believe, and Child Protective Services was involved, and there was a whole thing that came of that. The Darvo, here's what happened. So the pastor and his wife started literally going around town and going to other homeschool families, people in the church, and literally saying that the woman that the girls originally disclosed to, ready, was a witch. They started with like, okay, she's got an abuse history of her own, and therefore like she probably led the girls into believing that. And oh, by the way, when that didn't work to discount the allegations, then they were going around saying that she was literally a witch and that she had somehow manipulated the girls, or I don't know, cast a spell. I don't even know.
Does she live in a hut in the woods made of candy? I'm just asking.
Hansel and Gretel.
Asking for a friend.
Don't think so. Huh. It was the most incredibly bizarre. Again, Darvo, if you've ever been on the receiving end of a Darvo, you know how crazy it can make you feel. But this went on for months.
Here's the crazy part, though, I think.
The crazy part?
Okay, a crazy part. Not only were they going around saying she's a witch, but how many people heard that and thought, oh, she's a witch, right? Like, right. You know that there's people...
Yes.
Who instead of being like, I'm sorry, what? Right. Like, okay, 1,000% no. And now I see what's happening here. Uh-uh. Like, they were successful in gaslighting all these people by saying she's a witch. Like that. Oh my God. I can't.
I mean, seriously, you can't
make this up.
And there were several of us that were trying to like undarvo this whole thing and trying to have conversations with people that we once thought were reasonable humans, and finding that they are buying into. Because this was a person, so the person the girls disclosed to, again, was not the normal,
she didn't fit like, the mold,
buttoned up homeschool mom. So therefore, it was easier, unfortunately, to discredit her, which is disgusting, but it's true.
Yeah.
But we were going around trying to say, like, okay, but that makes no sense. Like, can you not see that is like, what? But it didn't matter. People were willing to believe that, and we had. Meetings we had, like, I was on the phone, it was like an entire summer, from like June, late May, June, all through the summer, on the phone, and even trying to be like, okay, look, like, this is what I do for a living, so right. I'm not just a homeschool mom, this is also like over here my profession, and right. Like, if you know, if I was talking to someone in financing, I would be like, okay, so you work in finance. If I had a finance question, I would come to you and I would trust your expertise. I'm here telling you, this is my area of expertise. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. This is classic.
Right.
This is just what this looks like.
Right.
Nope. Darvo was very, very powerful.
God, I super hope that my parents come up with some kind of amazing narrative that you're a witch.
That would be fun.
That would be
super fun. Well, they've already tried to say, but I'm not a Christian, so therefore it doesn't count. But that doesn't work.
You're secular. Oh,
but here's the thing. Here's the next piece of Darvo. So you heard me say that we got kicked out of the state homeschool group because that was a Darvo too. Because the narrative got flipped on us to be like, oh, you know, you're only holding this position because you're divisive, because you're right. Ready. It was partly you're trying to usurp the power of this homeschool group as if somehow being top banana of the Niagara County homeschool group was my dream.
It's not.
What? What? Oh, ridiculousness. Complete ridiculousness. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. Darvo. It was definitely a thing. Yeah. Bizarre. Super bizarre.
And it's so like, it's so identifiable because 11 years later, yeah, we are, you know, watching it happen again, where people mm-hmm. are saying, don't listen to it. It's the podcast is divisive. It undermines the church. Right. So like literally we're using the same script over and over again.
And acting surprised.
Shocked. Just shocked.
Right. It's up to us to be informed so we can't be Darvo'd.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Really, ugh, bizarre. That's wild.
Really bizarre. I know. Oh my gosh. And also, ready, not only did they discredit the person that the girls originally disclosed to by saying she was a witch, when those of us who knew what had happened came back and said, okay, but the girl's mother originally believed the disclosure. That's why it ended up coming to the elders. So then they had to start saying that she had also been manipulated by the witch.
So many spells being cast.
So many spells being cast. I mean,
friggin' Halloween up in here.
Ridiculous.
Holy cow.
And oh, okay. Little now, this is just the cherry on the crazy sundae. Guess where this former pastor now works?
Dun, 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 dun.
Liberty University. Last I heard.
That is where the crazy train stops. So,
right.
Makes total sense.
Right. It's yep. like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
So it's really important to remember what the stakes are when we're talking about Darvo. So, you know, we kind of got caught up in talking about the insanity of all that was being said, but let's not forget that at the center of this, there were two girls, now women, but those two girls were not able to get the help that they needed because people were able to be convinced of a ridiculous narrative. And it's also important to remember that apparently Darvo can have layers. Because not everybody heard the narrative, oh, you know, this woman is a witch. Because that narrative only got pulled out when some of the quote-unquote lower level narratives did not succeed in making people turn away from believing or being concerned about the allegations. The first layer was, oh, this is gossip, you know, and we're all hearing this now about the podcast, right? So some people are saying it's gossip, it's, you know, divisive, it's undermining, it's whatever. Don't listen. Don't talk about it. It's none of your business. Let the authorities handle it. Let, you know, leave them their privacy, blah, blah, blah. That was the first layer. Second layer was, oh, well, you know, we know that that woman, the woman that the girls originally talked to, well, you know, she's not like us. She's a little edgy. She's young. She's a little crazy. She's, you know, she's all these things. So yeah, you know, we probably should not pay much attention to what she has to say. Next layer was, oh, by the way, she has this abuse history of her own. So maybe she just misunderstood, misinterpreted, convinced the girls, manipulated the girls because of her own history. And if that did not work, then it was, oh, by the way, she's a witch. And not only did she manipulate the girls, but she apparently manipulated their mother also. But bottom line being that because Darvo was able to succeed, these girls did not get the help that they needed. And unfortunately, the little bit that I can see, I can see a little bit on social media, they do not look like they're doing very well, which is not surprising considering they had all these adults around them. They did the hard thing and asked for help, but told what was happening to several people and still were not able to get the help that they needed. So I'm not surprised that they're not doing well. It's heartbreaking, but it's important to remember what the stakes are when we're talking about Darvo. So like whether there's a list or not a list, somehow they find each other. But the bottom line is that when a church lands in a place, again, we don't really know what Forest View's position is here. We just know that the cooks are there and
that. Okay, but if somebody, I'm sorry, but if somebody calls you and is like, hey, I have a podcast and I'm about to talk about your church on it. And like, do you know that these people are X, Y, and Z? Don't you feel like you would feel some level of urgency to like return that phone call or like those phone calls because you called twice? Like it, so like, no, we don't know. We can't say right. for sure, but like no comment. It's kind of like that whole thing of like neutral is actually not neutral. Like you can't just be like, we don't not believe you, or we're taking a neutral stance here. Like there's no neutral in this. You either are or you're not. You know what I mean? So
absolutely. And I think maybe that's what places like Forest View don't understand.
Yeah. Is like that. Yes. No stance is a stance.
Correct.
It's absolutely siding with the abuser. So, you know, fine. Don't comment. Don't come back with, yes, we're aware, but we, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or yes, we're aware and we don't care. Like, don't take a side, but then you have taken a side. You need to know that. So I don't know.
Right. In part because what is the message that you get when a place like Forest View makes a place for your parents to be?
Oh, I mean, that, yeah, they're sympathetic to them that I'm not believed, because anybody who believes this to be true would hopefully be horrified at the thought of, like, again, going back to the chapel with David Drake and his whole comment from the stage of he loves to be in community with them. Whether or not he said that from the stage or not, like whether he had done that or not, his feeling was still, I love to be in community with them. So like, what you're saying is you love to be in community with sex traffickers. That's what you're saying. Like,
or I don't believe you.
I don't believe you. Right. So yes, that's the message that gets sent. And that's the narrative. And that's why, like, tying it all together today, that's why when I see in black and white on a police report, you know, federal agent so-and-so found her credible, it's like my worlds collide, because it's like the narrative that's always been of nobody will believe you. See, nobody believes you. They didn't do anything because they don't believe you. Seeing that that wasn't entirely true is just, I mean, yeah, it's mind bending.
Right. But how are you, how is a survivor supposed to feel when they tell what happened and nothing happens?
Right.
How are you supposed right. to feel? Or when you know that somebody is creating safe haven for your traffickers.
Right.
And I hope that people are listening and are going to be asking at Forest View, how are we keeping our people safe
right.
in this building, knowing that they are here?
Absolutely. And yeah, I guess also just pointing out that this information came to us because of the podcast, and a lot of information comes to us that way.
And we'll continue to.
Yeah, we see you. So you can put all the trackers you want on people's vehicles. You can make all the threats in the world, but we see you too. So
right. It's no longer a one-way process where they have all the power and you have none.
Right.
That's just not what it is anymore. So thank you everyone for I don't know.
Everything.
Giving Kate a voice. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally for giving Kate a voice and for being in this with us.
Yep.
So
stay tuned.
If you or someone you know is stuck in a trafficking situation and needs help, please reach out to the National Human Trafficking Hotline by calling 1-888-373-7888. Or text HELP, H-E-L-P, to 233-733.